Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Triple Jump podcast. What's up? I'm Dick Munchenko.
Yes, you are. And I'm Peter.
How's it going, Peter?
It's going okay. Thank you very much.
Here's something new about the studio I discovered earlier.
Yeah.
Just a minute ago when I was setting up the audio levels there. I could hear birds through the light fixture.
What?
That light fixture over there, that one. We're close to the roof, I assume, but we know there's an office above us because they like to hoover every day, all day.
I think there's at least two floors above us.
But through that very particular light fixture, I heard some chirples.
Oh, no.
I heard some merry chirples.
Do we need to call Animal Rescue?
I'm sure they'll be fine.
That was hosted by Rolf Harris, wasn't it?
Was it? We should call Pet, probably scandal Pet confirmed. Yeah. Absolutely confirmed. Not even pending. Slightly.
Well, that might have been at Animal Hospital. I don't know. Citation needed.
Anyway, we've name-dropped him now, so it doesn't matter which show he presented. It's too late.
He's in the podcast.
It's too late.
What kind of podcast is this, Ben?
This is a video game podcast where we talk about video game things and stuff that we have been playing and so on.
But we wouldn't be able to do it without our special... sponsor.
Special sponsor.
Who sponsor us, they've sponsored us from the very beginning. Hey kids.
Hey.
Do you like nature?
Do you like
watching things grow in your care?
Yes
you do, uh-huh. Yeah. Well, now you too at home can enjoy Firefly Corpse, grow your own mushrooms. Do you want a cordyceps in a petri dish?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do.
Well, all you need is some spores. They come in a packet. Do not breathe in when you open the spores.
No.
And then you just put like a little dead rat or something and give them
just a dead rat. Dead rat not included.
No, you have to kill your own rat.
Yeah.
But Firefly Inc. cordyceps. Grow your own biological disaster. Thank you, Firefly, for sponsoring this podcast.
Teachers may be annoying you at school, too much homework, parents getting you down, a boy bullying you.
Stick it in the coffee.
Why not take a little sachet in with you,
yeah,
and just sort of sprinkle it on their morning breakfast,
yeah,
and other such things.
Not only do you get your revenge,
mm-hmm,
on that bad person, but you get to grow your own fungus while you're at it.
Yeah.
So while you're laughing maniacally and enjoying the sweet retribution, you could maybe do a little video diary.
Yeah.
Film it every day.
Also.
Is it out of the eyeball yet? Oh, yep. There it goes.
There it is.
Are they clicking? They're clicking.
Oh, are they walking like dinosaurs yet?
Oh.
Yes. Jump on the floor. Everybody walk the dinosaur.
Like the dinosaur.
Additionally, you ever had a cordyceps risotto?
No, I've not.
Really nice.
Wow.
Very earthy. And a bit meaty too.
Oh, lovely.
Really nice. Make sure it's cooked very long and very hard.
Very long.
Cook it hard, yeah. and then you'll be good. Thank you to that sponsor.
Thank you, Firefly Inc.
Thank you so much.
Grow your own cordyceps at home.
Very much appreciated. We'll give them another shout out at the end of the show. Of course, we can't do this show without them. That's a lie. The real people we can't do this show without, Peter,
are
our proud patrons who actually provide all the questions for the podcast.
I hope they're proud.
The first time out of the two of us, actually wearing the Patreon exclusive Billy Ray Walrus shirt. You can see that on camera now if you're watching the video.
Yeah, you're right.
Big picture of our Walrus son's face, and it says Billy Ray Walrus underneath. If you support us at a certain tier, you get this shirt.
It's right. The
only way to get it.
I've not actually worn that on camera because it's in my... I've got a special shelf in my wardrobe of folded T-shirts that are my comfy favourite home shirts.
And it's one of those.
I wear it at home quite a lot, but I should wear it at the office on camera, really.
I only just got this sort of a week ago. And it's now been washed and found its way into rotation. I picked this up thinking it was a different shirt until I was wearing it. And then I thought, wow, how perfect. Because now I get to show it off for all the people at home.
And we're doing a live stream at time of day of recording today.
Time/day of recording. Absolutely. Peter, who's the first question from?
This first question is from Stephen Foster. Stephen Foster went to Gloucester in a shower of rain. He stepped in a puddle right up to his middle and never went there again or home again?
One of the two.
There again.
All I remember about that is that I used to watch Fun Song Factory. Yes. Or at least my sisters did. Mm-hmm. And we had a VHS. And that was presented by Dave Benson Phillips.
It was.
And he did sort of a rap version of it.
Oh, my God.
Like, he just delivered very impactfully.
Wow.
Like, Dr. Foster went to Gloucester in a shower of rain. And then, you know, he got diabetes in hand, foot, and mouth.
Yeah, you got hand, foot, and mouth disease.
But you can hear all about that on another podcast.
Strange. Hi, Dudarinos. That's what it says. I'm reading it verbatim.
No, that's a popular Peter Austin affectation.
Yeah, it is.
You do say that a lot.
Just wondering, Arenos, what you thought were on budget. What your thoughts were on budget games? I tend to
gamers.
Well, yeah, okay. Budget gamers. It's the same thing. It's the same question.
Budget games.
You're right. It does say gamers. But gaming in a budgetary manner.
Yep.
I tend to stay a generation behind, and I'm currently basking in the low-cost goodness of PS3, literally just getting my Platinum for God of War HD. Is it wise? Foolish? Cheers, guys. Love you loads. Blazems. Thanks, Steve. In brackets, guttersnipe.
Guttersnipe.
You dirty little guttersnipe. Do you know, I've got no problem with budget gamers. I think
I think that's a very clever idea.
There's no reason why you should have to. I mean, I guess the one downside is that if you're staying a generation behind intentionally so that you can be a budget gamer, it must sometimes feel a bit frustrating when you see all these trailers for the new exciting, you know, Spider-Man, or, you know, he's playing God of War HD. Meanwhile, God of War, it's just called God of War, but the latest one in the series is being applauded worldwide for being fantastic. I guess that's the one negative.
You're not allowed to be part of the zeitgeist, which is quite hard.
Yeah.
But you also have to deal with games that are having all their servers turned off.
Yeah.
So as long as you're not into multiplayer games, then that's fine. I think the PS3 in particular has such an incredible library of first-party games. I think the PS3 is my favorite console ever.
Yeah.
Just because the quality of the games on that system, not just first-party, but third-party as well, are unbelievably outstanding. So it makes perfect sense to me to just stick around and play those. And I know for some people, as you say, it's a budgetary thing. Some people can't afford to upgrade to the latest generation. And you know what? You're making smart financial sense, because I am speaking as a man who cannot get enough of fast food. And when I'm not eating fast food, which I try to limit myself to once a week, I'm thinking about fast food. Mm-hmm. And then when I get the fast food, I get too much fast food. It's just a vicious cycle. And I feel like the same it can be true of games, where, like, you buy the game and you have to have all the games and get it on day one. And when you're not getting the games, you're thinking about the games that are coming next.
That's basically what addiction is.
Basically, yes. I'm addicted to... No, I'm not. I'm really not. But the point is that some people love a burger. Mm. Peter Austin, for example, loves a burger. I doubt he thinks about burgers most days, like I do. So if you can separate yourself from that in a gaming sense, financially, You're bloody sorted, mate. If you want these amazing experiences but you don't need them right now, then good for you. That's a great way to do it.
Yeah, right. I mean, I tell you one thing that probably works maybe even better is to not necessarily be a generation behind, because then, you can't really get in on the zeitgeist, but just stay, 6 or 12 months behind on your games. You know, like, when I first bought my PS4, it had been out for at least a year, maybe longer than that, maybe a couple of years. And I had a whole load of games that I was able to play and enjoy, because they're still PS4 level, quality games. But they'd been out for long enough that, like, there were loads of them at CEX, or even if I wanted to buy a new, they were, like, fairly cheap. I had fun with, like, One of the first games I think I played was Far Cry Primal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the best Far Cry game in the world, but...
Still blew you away.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it because it was dirt cheap. And I liked the caveman-y setting. That was kind of fun.
And you get to experience an entire series at once.
Yeah.
Like, I gave you my copy of the Nathan Cake collection.
Yes.
And we also had Uncharted 4 just through some thing at work at the time, a PR thing, because I think it won a BAFTA or something.
Yeah.
And
a golden joystick.
That was it, yeah, because we got balloons and weird biscuits as well. Yeah. That was fun. I want more of those. Can we get on those mailing lists again?
Who's the biscuit company?
Someone sign us up for the biscuit company. And so you were able to play through 1 to 4, basically,
not in one sitting.
Obviously. But that's something you cannot do if you are constantly sort of... I'm trying to think of the word. Is voraciously the word?
What's the rest of the sentence?
Voraciously consuming.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
If you're voraciously consuming each new release as soon as it comes out and you're done within 2 weeks, then you've got like 3 years, maybe.
Maybe we're getting confused with the word ferociously consuming.
Well, yeah, I was thinking that too, but I haven't heard the word ferociously used in that sense. Let's see what Siri says.
Can you tell her to do that? Yes, you're
okay, so
right.
Okay, so that kind of works, right?
In your fast food...
I've always got burgers on the brain, what can I say?
Metaphor, yeah.
Always thinking of the Piz, constantly. Barbara Piz.
So yeah, I think we don't think it's at all foolish, other than the fact that if you also happen to be the kind of person that loves to be on the button all the time,
yeah,
those two things can't really coexist. But I'm assuming that you can probably get by without playing the latest... crappy Ubisoft shooter that's come out last week.
And thank you for listening to our podcast all about very modern games most of the time. I imagine that's probably a source of some frustration as well. But I think we're kind of just jealous, really. I mean, we wouldn't be able to do our jobs if we adopted the same approach, but it would be so nice to just not care as much.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be nice just to not care as much? I saw a post yesterday about someone who... last year decided to focus on making themselves happier, and they lost like 80 pounds. And one of the things they said is that they stopped watching TV and they stopped caring about politics. And I think that stop caring about politics can be dangerous because you need to hold people to account.
Yeah.
But wouldn't blissful ignorance just be so nice sometimes?
Yeah.
Just to just not care about this stuff.
I sometimes think that about social media. And in a certain sense, you know, I feel like in this job, I can't just decide, well, I'm not going to do Twitter anymore. I mean, I could do, but it's better for the channel and for my own career if I do kind of keep up with a Twitter profile. But sometimes I think, like, it's fun and I enjoy it, but it's just another whole plate to spin, isn't it, in your life?
Like,
have I put something
have I posted
interesting
on Twitter
the last recently?
2 days?
Yeah. I'm going to have to do a Twitter post today. I know I'm going to have to, so...
Well, you're going to have to word it now, so that when people listen to this podcast, they can look back at the tweet from Thursday and go, okay, that's what that means. So it's going to be almost like a Doctor Who time travel thing where he shows up at the beginning of the episode and says something weird and it doesn't make any sense until you get to the end of the episode and you work out that he's time traveled back.
I don't think I want to put something just really weird
just
and out of context.
Sausage.
Yeah, but maybe I'll hide a word. I'll put a strange word in there that I wouldn't, you know, it's like a code word.
You could just say, haven't posted in a couple of days. Here we are.
Yeah, all right. I'll do that,
and then people will know what that means.
Go to @ThatPeterAustin now and retweet the tweet I did that said
everybody retweet. Let's get a retweet spike. That's how it goes, Peter.
Yeah,
we've got a new section coming up now. Brand new section, never done before anywhere else.
Okay,
it's called What We Play In, but then there's an apostrophe without the G because that implies that it's informal and laid back, and
so does the What We
and fun.
It's not What Are We.
That's also true.
Yeah.
But what I don't... Anyway, we'll get to the section, then we'll explain what it is, because we're taking way too long.
Yeah.
Peter!
Yes?
What this?
This is a brand new cutting-edge section, Ben. It's called What Are We...
I'm sorry, what was it?
This is a brand new cutting-edge section, Dick.
Yeah.
It's called What... I was just... There
was a reflection. We've got an in memoriam thing on the wall over there, so...
It's cutting-edge.
Yeah.
It's called... What are we playing? Mm. And basically what we talk about in this section is the games that we are currently engaging in playing in our fun, recreational, home, free time.
That's far-fetched, to be honest.
You're just going to have to go with it.
It's ridiculous.
Ben?
Yeah.
Are you...
Sorry? You keep catching the eyes of the candlelit there. Vigil over there.
Dick!
Yes!
Are you playing anything right now?
I actually am playing something right now, Peter.
Yeah.
I have been playing the new Dulk, the DLC for Borderlands 2.
Okay.
Commander Lilith and the something else, the Fight for Sanctuary, I think is what it's called. It is kind of blowing me away, to be honest.
Oh, really?
Hello? Did someone just die upstairs?
It might have been that Ben guy, because he's certainly not in this room.
No, he's absolutely not.
No.
Free piece of DLC.
Yeah.
7 years... 7 years after the original game came out, and it's like it takes 8 hours to complete all the stuff.
Wow, that's a lot.
It's really impressive. I thought it would just, because they've released a couple of free mini DLCs before, like sort of Christmas themed, Halloween themed, which is like one area with a couple of quests in it. And those were lovely. And I was expecting something else, something like that. But this bridges the story between 2 and 3. And this really ties in, and I'm glad that I've played Borderlands 1, and Borderlands the pre-sequel, and Tales from the Borderlands all quite recently, because it openly... What are you doing up there?
Well, they know that we're recording, so it's time to
just
open the elephant cage
just
and let them out.
Garumph around all over the place.
Yeah.
It openly references all of them. It actually features characters from Tales from the Borderlands, and I don't want to spoil anything, but that was like, yay!
Right.
It's them. It's the guys. It's the guys from the series that got killed by mismanagement.
Yes.
And
hello, I'm
so,
Miss Management.
I'm Mrs. Management. No, sorry. It's just Ms.
She's
Management.
She's not married.
No, she's not married. That's very rude and presumptive. So I'm really impressed by it already, and it seems to be a real... teaser for things to come with Borderlands 3, because immediately I noticed that a lot of the new characters that they've added, especially some Tales from the Borderlands characters, I'm not going to name them in case people haven't played it yet,
right,
are way more animated than any of the other NPCs I've ever seen in Borderlands.
Okay.
Like they're just usually with Borderlands it's quite simplistic. They sort of awkwardly walk up to a place, their mouth will move, and occasionally their arms will move around while they're talking, and then when they want to give you something or take something from you, their arm will just extend and they'll just stand there. And so they'll turn their head to look at you when they're talking and stuff, but that's about it.
Right.
Now, though, there are actually loads of really unique little gestures that they're doing and stuff relating to the dialogue that they're saying.
Okay.
And that's a good sign. And they've managed to get it into Borderlands 2 somehow, retroactively. I did encounter a game-breaking bug, though,
oh dear,
which required playing it again. Basically, a character needed to knock down something to create a bridge to go somewhere else. He got stuck on a piece of the environment, or just, I think he just stopped going to the place he needed to go to.
Right.
We're like, well, this is weird. Anyway, time to call it a night for now. We'll pick up tomorrow.
Yeah, restart the game.
Came back in, he despawned, and our objective marker was on the other side of where something needed to be knocked down to get to it.
Oh, because maybe the game thought he'd already done it or something.
Exactly. There's no way to get over there. Lots of people are having this issue.
Oh, no.
It's not just me. It seems like he just despawns sometimes. And some people were able to rocket jump over there.
Oh, my God.
So we spent about maybe 2 hours just experimenting with RPGs and grenades to try and blast ourselves across this cavern. But every time you fall down the cavern, you just die. It instantly kills you.
Right.
And every time you respawn, it costs you money. And so I lost, like, loads of money trying to just get across this thing. Anyway, we restarted it last night. And it's all going fine. But apart from that, really impressed. It's great.
Good.
What are you playing?
Dick. I have been playing a little game that is, at time of recording, getting a re-release, a remake.
Okay.
Tomorrow.
Oh, wow, at the time of recording.
At time of recording.
Yes.
At time of publishing, I think it's already out.
There'll be videos on the channel.
There will be. Well, this is the thing. There will be videos on the channel, and I think it's kind of going to... I mean, I know you're also going to have a copy yourself, but I think I should probably take the lead on this one, given that you've very professionally taken the lead on many other new video game review-style coverage.
Yeah, that recently. Sounds good to me.
Yeah. So I kind of want to make sure that I, number one, know what I'm roughly doing in Crash Team Racing we're talking about right now. And also that I'm able to actually give an accurate comparison, because I don't actually know that game as well as you do. I know Crash 1, 2, and 3 and Crash Bash pretty well, and the three Spyro games. But in terms of comparing the original with the remaster, or remake, I should say, I kind of want to make sure I have a good comparison in my head. So
okay.
I've been playing lots of the original Cutter. On the PS1.
Charlie Cutter,
yes. Yeah. What I've never played, well, actually, I played it once at a friend's house, is Crash Nitro Kart. Which
I played one of those on PS. I think it might have been Tag Team Racing.
I think I've also played like one session of Tag Team Racing.
Just
really bad.
So disappointing after the amazing original.
So I'm really hoping that stuff that's been implemented into Nitro Fueled is going to just fit in nicely and almost be, you know, indistinguishable, apart from the fact that I'll be like, oh, well, I don't recognize that person or this track. But I think, as far as I can tell, there might be some extra tracks in Nitro Fueled that are, they've not been in any of the games that have been, you know, imported into the remake. So hopefully there'll be so much like actual new stuff
that
the Nitro Fueled stuff will just blend in very well.
I'm really looking forward to playing that.
I'm really looking forward to playing
it. It's going to be good fun. We're going to do a video on it.
We are.
Probably stream some of it next week as well.
I'll definitely stream a bit.
And I believe we're in the early stages of organizing an office tournament that will go up on our channel with all the Cultaholic boys of us trying to kill each other in Crash Team Racing.
Yeah, that's right.
Actually killing each other.
I'm just really interested to see, because we've seen some tracks. I've not actually watched, I've stayed away somewhat like from the just some of the promotional material that's been out, but I've not yet seen any of the sort of hub world for the adventure mode, so that'll be intriguing.
No, I haven't.
I wonder if they've done that in any kind of different, interesting way, or if you do just sort of drive around from place to place,
go from bit to bit,
would be fine. But you know, there's always room for improvement, always room for additions. So just been enjoying a bit of memory lane, taking a drive down memory lane there, a little drift, a little power slide down memory lane.
A little power slide down memory lane.
Yeah,
fantastic. Let's move on to another question. This is from Xavier Rams, who asks, with next gen just barely peeking over the horizon, which system, PS5 or Scarlet, will you be purchasing, and what next gen games are you looking forward to? Personally, I'm waiting for an announcement for Horizon Zero Dawn 2. I'm also looking forward to Marvel's Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, I'll be getting a PS5, I'm pretty sure. You know, we've talked fairly extensively in previous podcasts about why we're PlayStation boys over Xbox, and it's basically the exclusives, really.
Yeah.
And, you know, working under the assumption that there will be a Spider-Man 2, that's definitely something I'd be excited for, and that would presumably be PS5 exclusive. The next Elder Scrolls, is that going to be next gen, do you think?
I mean, it's got to be at this point.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, there's not really enough time left.
For a long old time.
Or it might be a sort of a crossover game where they bring out the tail end of the PS4 and also onto the PS5. I'm well excited for that. Like, I know that Bethesda aren't really top dogs anymore in terms of the open world RPG, but you know, they've hopefully learned a lot from Fallout 76. I know that's a different sort of time kind of game, but it's, you know, largely just, it's still an open world first person RPG kind of thing. So I'm hoping that they do that really well, and I'm excited to see how it goes. There's a bunch of stuff that I'm obviously excited for that we've already heard about, but they're probably going to be on the last few games of the current gen, so it's hard to know what will be coming out, really.
Yeah.
BGE2, obviously, it goes without saying.
Absolutely. I agree with what Xavier says about the games that he's looking forward to. God of War 2, of course, the inevitable sequel to last year's Game of the Year, which was amazing. I want to play the sequel to that, please. We actually also have a list already out about exclusives we'd like to see return on PS5. True. So please do go and watch that if you're interested. Bloodborne, a sequel to Bloodborne would be amazing. A remake of Demon's Souls is way overdue, especially as they've turned off the servers now, and I think that's just a crime, given how influential and important that game is. It's frankly nonsense that they turned the servers off, and I know that you can use custom servers, but even so, that's faff that I shouldn't have to do. Apart from that, I mean, it's difficult to predict exactly what's going to be on there, but it's probably safe to assume that sequels to games that have come out in the last couple of years will at least, if not be on PS4 as well, they will be on PS5.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's exciting. I have no interest in the Xbox console just because I've never had an Xbox and it's not something that I'm particularly interested in. We will, of course, cover it here.
Yeah.
But probably not very well because...
neither of us will probably have one.
Because neither of us will have one and also...
James might. I think he quite likes his Xbox.
I think he plays PC games, doesn't he?
He does play PC games, but I don't know. Yeah, I know he plays Microsoft games, which might just be PC. I'm not sure.
Right. Difficult to say, but we'll do our best to cover it just as we do our best to cover Nintendo stuff. It's not really our area of expertise, but we'll do our best for you. Mm-hmm. And that's that, I think.
Yeah, it's like you say, it's hard to know what will be on those consoles because, you know, other than, oh, hopefully they'll do a sequel to this. Mm-hmm. It's difficult to predict.
Excellent. Right, Peter, there's something strange happening.
I can smell something weird in the air.
It's weird news!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Peter, it's weird news time.
I'm just getting it out of my pocket.
It's weird
just slow
news.
Down.
Here's the weird news.
I can't.
He's
count.
Ready to go. Peter, you're up first.
Stop it.
What's your weird news? Go.
My weird news. Ben.
No.
I've got an...
No.
Dick.
Yes.
I have got an update on a previous weird news.
No.
It's not a very weird update, to be fair. It's just the original story was pretty weird. This is...
weird than most.
This is... it's less weird than most. I think this kind of makes sense that they should do this.
Okay.
Twitch sues trolls who turned Artifacts page into a porn-riddled disaster.
Oh, wow. They've sued them.
They're in the process of suing them.
On what grounds?
Well, I'll tell you.
Okay.
Late last month, the Twitch game category section dedicated to embattled Valve card game Artifact briefly rocketed back into relevance. This is according to Kotaku, I should say. Thank you to Nathan Grayson for writing this. That was almost entirely thanks to the concerted efforts of trolls who created dummy channels and violated the heck out of Twitch's terms of service.
No, not the heck.
With broadcasts that included anime, porn and anime porn.
Nice.
That's what it says in
the
article.
What is the difference? Ba-dum-ts.
Twitch put the kibosh on this. Good word. In the following days by implementing new security measures. Now, for good measure, the platform is suing people who participated.
Oh, man.
Late last week, Twitch filed a legal complaint via Bloomberg against the anonymous trolls behind the Great Artifact Porn Explosion of 2019, which is all capitalized.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Who the complaint refers to as John and Jane Doe's 1 to 100. The suit targets these people who Twitch hopes to identify at a later date, specifically for streaming content that included hardcore pornography, racist and misogynistic videos, copyrighted movies and television shows, and videos depicting violence, including videos of the March 2019 Christchurch mosque attack. The trolls did this, says Twitch, by coordinating their efforts on platforms like Discord and using bots to evade takedowns. So they're in big trouble.
Yeah, they did some pretty heinous stuff there.
They did,
but I would argue that maybe suing them is not the right approach. I don't know that suing them is going to do it. The fact that they don't know who they are yet seems like a weird measure to take, maybe almost to reassure advertisers that they're clamping down, even if they know they have no case and know that there's very little chance they're going to actually identify these people.
Well, the thing is, what surprised me that it was Twitch that was suing these people, because surely Twitch should just like try and find out who these people are and you know, do their best to sort of permaban them or something like that.
Yeah.
But I was surprised that it wasn't Valve suing them, saying, hey, you've sort of associated our game now with, you know, videos of shootings and like pornography and weird anime stuff.
Well, that could also tie into why Twitch are taking such a firm stance on this, or a strong stance.
Because they don't want
they're under pressure from Valve. Yeah. They're under pressure from advertisers. They're under pressure from probably youth groups and things like that.
Yeah.
So that's the only logical reason I can think in my head as to why they would go, sue them, we're going to sue them. This is how seriously we take
quite
this.
Excessive,
we're going to sue them. No, actually, you know what? Scratch that. We're going to kill them. We're going to go. We're going
to
hunt them down.
We're going to
shoot them all.
Well, given the nature of the... This is a final paragraph. Mm-hmm. As for Artifact, the game's Twitch section currently has about 100 viewers spread across 7 streams. Of those, more than half are actually dedicated to Artifact. So that's a victory there. 3, meanwhile, are blatant troll streams. So an extremely small handful of people are still at it for some reason. At this point, they might want to reconsider, says Nathan from Kotaku.
It's probably a bot at this point, right? Still hanging on there.
Yeah, that's just not been shut down. It's just like restreaming really, really sexy anime stuff. Just with enormous breasts and things like that.
Just things like that. That's inherent to anime.
Just
enormous breasts.
Sexy, cartoony things.
Big bobs. Mm. I got big bobs and I cannot lie.
Please send
Must
Roberts
be anime.
And Valerie's.
For God's sake.
Dick.
Sorry, yeah.
Dick.
Yeah, yeah.
Dick.
Yeah.
Do you have a weird news?
I do have a weird news. Please prepare to wash your ears out, because I'm afraid that this comes by way of the sun. It comes from the sun. So here we go.
You know what you're going to get now?
What's that?
Loads of comments saying, Ben, do you read the sun? Why do you read the
no.
sun?
No.
This happened when we did the painting video and we had the sun on the floor.
And we made a joke about how crap the sun is.
It's because it was the cheapest paper in the shop. We needed some newspaper on
the floor. And we said that in the video as well. And people were still like,
come you had a copy of the sun to put on the floor?
Just look into some bloody context, will you? Here's the context for this one. I saw a screenshot of an article on Twitter that I thought was really funny and relevant. Not really funny. I just thought it was relevant. Really. Mm-hmm. I don't want to hype it up too much. It's not that funny. It's the funniest thing I'd ever seen. And it didn't cite a source, because of course it didn't. So when I Googled the story, the Sun were the original reporters of the story. I'm really sorry.
So it must be true.
It must be true. Here we go. Here's the title of this article. Games Bond. Mutiny on James Bond movie sets as director skips filming to play PlayStation, then demands crew work overtime.
What?
Fresh mutiny has erupted on the set of the doomed James Bond.
They decided already.
God,
it's doomed.
This website and newspaper. Am I right? Of the doomed James Bond movie, as the crew were told they had to work extra hours after the director missed filming because he was playing on his PlayStation. American filmmaker Cary Fukunaga, 40. That's important. 40.
He should not be playing PlayStation.
Was several hours late to a scheduled shot due to his particularly intense video game session. A large number of crew were waiting on location when he eventually turned up 3 hours after his anticipated arrival time.
It meant the film, already massively delayed because of a series of disagreements and a serious injury to leading man Daniel Craig, fell behind schedule even further. And to make up for lost time, Carey's senior production staff then told the disgruntled crew they would be required to work over the weekend, which included Father's Day, which many refused to do. A Bond sauce, and I do like that.
A Bond...
Make sure you add, stir in the Bond sauce.
Would you like any sauces? Yes, can I have the Bond sauce,
I'll have
please.
The Bond sauce. Stir it in.
Shaken, not stirred.
This is real mutiny right now on the set. It's bad enough that Kerry was so late for filming and held everyone up, but then for the crew to be asked to work extra hours to cover it was just a final straw. He turned up 3 hours late, which pissed everyone off. There was a big bust-up because they were so behind. Many said they were not willing to give up their Father's Day in return for this film. It's just doomed.
Oh, God.
And I think that's pretty much it. And then goes on to list how it's the latest in a long line of setbacks that the still unnamed film has suffered.
I mean, if it's true that the director was just at home playing PlayStation, turned up 3 hours late because he'd been playing PlayStation for 3 hours, and then said, yeah, we're going to have to work Father's Day. Yeah, I mean, like,
yeah.
He's a dick. But
he is a dick.
Yeah.
He's
a real... So are you, but...
Well, yeah, I am. I'm a Richard. He's a real Richard.
A dick, but he's a real Richard.
He's a real Richard.
And yeah, like that's just a rubbish thing to do. You're the director.
Yeah,
of, you need to be there
of James Bond.
Yeah, there's not James Bond. Yeah, you're right. There aren't that. I mean,
well, that was the Sons. Don't give him too much.
No,
credit.
I know. There aren't many. I was gonna say, is there any greater Hollywood opportunity? I think nowadays there probably is, to be honest.
Yeah, an Avengers film, franchise. Maybe. Yeah.
But, you know, certainly it's a well-known, legendary, classic franchise.
Yeah.
And if you've been hired to direct a James Bond movie, you bloody well turn up on time, please.
Yeah. Yeah, they've had directors pull out already due to script differences. They've had scripting issues. James Bond, like, rolled his ankle or something and tore some
ligaments.
James
Bond rolled his ankle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actual James
the
Bond.
The actual James Bond.
James Bond rolled his ankle. Just hoovering in the office.
They're
now.
Actually just hoovering outside.
That's
now.
Probably fine. Yeah. And yeah, I just thought that was super fun that he was playing PlayStation so much that the new James Bond film might never come out.
Yeah. I like to think because it's the Sun and they're unable to specify what kind of PlayStation because it's like your aunt saying,
it could be a Game Boy.
Are you
it
playing
could
on
be,
your PlayStation?
I used to get, are you playing, are you, put your Game Boy down well into the sort of PlayStation Vita era.
Right.
I was still getting told off for playing on my Game Boy.
My grandma used to just call, not handhelds, but like plug in like the TV consoles, machines.
Oh, really?
Have you been on the machine? Yes, I have been on the machine, Grandma. But no, I like to think because they've not specified what kind of PlayStation, that it was actually just playing like James Bond Nightfire on PS2 or something.
Yeah, he could have been doing research.
Yeah, directing, just
How good
live
was
directing.
Nightfire?
Yeah,
I much preferred Nightfire to any of the other James
yeah,
Bond
games.
Yeah,
me too. It was a pretty good game.
Nightfire
yeah.
was good.
Everything or Nothing was all right too. But,
yeah. Something the Wallace, Gromit of Wallace yeah, as well. Yeah. That was good. The Something of Boris. Anyway, that was my weird news. That's it's time weird. For another question, Peter.
Jessica James.
Team Rocket's blasting off again, am I right?
Two first names. Jessica James, two first names. So, following your week of E3 content last week, what was your most favoritist announcement? That's what it says. Most yep. favoritist announcement. And what was the biggest damp squib for you both?
I didn't even read the second part of that sentence.
I didn't
either.
Did
yeah, I mean, I've got an answer, but go ahead.
Well, I don't think there was a massive standout, this is the game for me, the most exciting one. I think there were a few almost equal magnitude highlights. Cyberpunk looks great. Elden Ring was like intriguing, but I mean, it was kind of, in a way, it's one of the more exciting looking games, except it was very much a teaser rather than a trailer. So I'm not super hyped about that yet, just because I don't know enough about it. Watch Dogs as well looked pretty good. And also, purely for the way they announced it, and it doesn't affect me whatsoever because I don't have a... Well, we share a Switch, but I don't play it.
It's at mine.
Banjo. I think the way they announced it, I think that was one of the best announcements, if you like. Just the manner in which it was done. The bait and switch with the silhouette. I think that was great. Mm-hmm. But yeah, those are mine, really. Like I say, no massive standout. Even Cyberpunk, I think... Didn't really blow my socks off this time. You know?
Could have benefited with gameplay.
Yeah, definitely.
Apparently they are showing off that demo at PAX, the upcoming PAX. Okay. The demo they showed behind closed doors we will see soon.
Exciting.
So that's good.
How about you?
Yeah, we've had a week now to process and, you're right, there wasn't much coming out of it that I was super, super thrilled about. I suppose the top one is Final Fantasy VII Remake for me, and we've got a sort of big, broader question about that in the big discussion shortly, so we'll get onto that properly. I like the look of Watch Dogs Legion, but then again, I know as soon as I potentially start playing it, it's just going to feel like any other Ubisoft open world game. So as interesting as the premise and the location is, I just know that it's probably just going to fall into exactly the same traps that previous Watch Dogs games have,
and
for me at least.
Difficult to connect with a character if they can just if they're so expendable. That...
Or it might be like XCOM. Yeah. Where you really care about a character and then they get killed off.
God, you're right.
Like,
true.
No, I lost Grandma Josephine.
Yeah.
She's dead. Now it's time for Grandpa Joe. Can you play as old men? Hashtag not all old men.
You can play as old ladies. The pigeon lady from the trailer.
Yeah, but what about old men?
You can play as almost any NPC, it said.
I hope there are old men in there. Yeah. Old men have been, old white men have been having a hard time of it, you know, for quite a while. So it's time they were included, I think.
Bring back old men.
In terms of Dom Squibs.
Dom Squibs.
I would say L'Avenger.
Yeah?
L'Avenger. Marvel's L'Avenger. I mean, the trailer that they uploaded, this is really unusual for any Marvel content at the moment. But the trailer they uploaded to the official Marvel account has had like 13 million views now. And it's on like 88% positive upvotes, which I know that doesn't sound bad, but usually videos are either 100 or high 90s.
Yeah.
If, you know, there's something to be taken from it not being a really high thumbs up rate.
Yeah.
So I think people are a little bit wary of it and aren't really sure what to expect still.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not what a lot of people expected. We talked about it extensively last week. But I would say I was going into E3 with that being one of the only things I really wanted to see.
Yeah.
And coming away from E3 thinking, I feel nothing for this game at all. Well, it's going to have to do some work now, I think, to make me excited.
You're right. I mean, that's exactly what I feel about my damn squib, which was Star Wars.
Now, yes, yeah.
I've thought about this a lot since we watched it, and I thinking about it, I don't think it was an enormously super soggy wet squib. Mm. I think it was just, you know, it was a bit moist.
It's been out in the rain.
Yeah. I think, because have you seen this tweet? I meant to share this with you the other day. I brought it along with me.
Okay.
Apparently, there's more to this Star Wars game than they actually showed. Now, I don't know who this man is. I've looked at his bio. He's not, doesn't appear to work for any kind of company, but maybe he was just at E3 and played it. And this was just in the demo that you could play at home. But Anthony on Twitter, at Edgewalker81, and this has a fair few retweets and likes, says, so the interesting thing about Jedi Fallen Order is that the demo didn't show is it's a Metroid game. You have a ship and a crew, and you can visit the planets in any order you like. As you gain new abilities, it allows you to unlock new areas on other planets. Why not show that, in caps? So
that does make it more interesting, doesn't it?
Yeah, if that's true, which we don't know if it is, Anthony might be talking out of his aunt, but if that is the case, that would definitely have opened it up and made it look a bit more, a bit less like a, this is kind of a bit Uncharted looking. Or,
yeah, this is going to be a linear story game, but the story might not be any good.
Yeah.
The combat doesn't look particularly interesting. They showed off the combat and some of the traversal, neither of which were very interesting.
They weren't groundbreaking, were they?
No, not at all. And, you know, we got no connection to this character. It showed Saw Gerrera, which is fine. I wouldn't put him down as people's favorite Star Wars character ever, but
he's
interesting.
He's in Star Wars Rebels, I think.
Right.
I've not seen Rebels. I've only seen Clone Wars, but he has a bit more of a fan base in the expanded universe. I think some people really like Saw Gerrera as a character. But yeah, okay. In terms of the mainstream audience.
Wait, and in terms of your debut thing to get people excited, that's a weird character to back.
Yeah, they could have pulled in a more well-known character from the kind of the six-episode saga rather than the Rogue One spin-off. that people recognize more. And I'm not suggesting they put in Luke Skywalker or Han Solo, or, well, you couldn't because it's based after, it's set after Order 66, but
yeah,
just some recognizable character from the original trilogy who's a bit more like, oh yeah, they were in more than one movie, or, mm-hmm, you know, they're pretty well known. But Saw Gerrera, I don't know, I didn't really warm to him in Rogue One. He seemed like
He was a bit of a grump, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
A bit of a grouch man.
Yeah.
Or they could have just, you know, talked up that side of the gameplay. I was beyond excited for Borderlands 3 before I knew anything about it, because I was just happy for more Borderlands. Mm-hmm. I would have happily played a game that was almost identical to Borderlands 2, to be honest. Like, yeah, I would have happily played it. It wouldn't have been for everyone. But as soon as they showed off in that gameplay demo, oh, by the way, there are different planets, and you have a ship that allows you to travel between different planets, that just makes the game that much more exciting and interesting. Mm-hmm. If they'd have said that for Star Wars, people would be talking a lot more about it, if that's true.
Yeah, it might not be true at all. There's nothing in that guy's bio that says, you know, I'm press, I work for Game Informer, and I've heard this. It's just, but, you know, maybe they were talking about it at the booth or something like that, and he found out and was like, why didn't they show it? So, yeah.
Weird. Right, Peter.
Yes.
It's time for a massive discussion.
Is there enough room in this room for the big discussion?
This big discussion question comes from a rather cleverly named person.
Yeah?
Their name is Mancomb Seepgood.
Okay.
Do you understand the reference?
No.
Mancomb, one might say a synonym would be Guybrush Threepwood from Monkey Island.
Oh, I see.
Mancomb.
That's clever.
Ha, ha, ha.
I thought it might be an Indian name that we're potentially playing with fire
I mean, maybe that is his actual name, Mancomb Seepgood, but it's too close to Guybrush Threepwood for it not to be that.
I suppose so. Mancomb, let us know.
Yeah.
Mancomb.
Having just got through the plethora of content you guys put out last week, and then in brackets it says, thank you very much for the hard work.
Oh, you're welcome,
Manco. I've been digesting the reactions to the Final Fantasy VII Remake. This slightly ties into Finley's question from last week. How do you feel about studios having the creative license to tweak stories in remakes to make them more relevant now? There's been a lot of negative comments about the Final Fantasy VII extending areas, specifically Midgar, and I'm wondering if we can use the shining beacon of Resident Evil 2 to epitomize that games can be made better, not just graphical overhauls.
What a great question. Thank you for submitting that question. Thank you very much.
So to provide a bit of context, Peter, for people who might not be familiar with the Final Fantasy VII, this remake was announced ages ago, and we got some gameplay a couple of years ago, and then it got scrapped and they started again, and then they showed off a load at this past E3. They have long said that this remake will be in three parts. Now, originally the game came on three discs, but the third disc wasn't that long. And the first disc, I think, was the best paced because it started you off in Midgar, which is the big city that's in the capital of the world, if you like, of the planet. And you start off there doing various missions for terrorist group / freedom fighters Avalanche, who are trying to destroy the various Mako facilities around the city, and Mako being the energy that the city runs on. But it turns out that actually Mako is taken from the life stream of the planet, and they're literally killing the planet. So it had quite a strong political message even back in the late 90s.
Okay.
And so you're blowing up these reactors, and you get drawn into this big sort of conspiracy as you go. You eventually manage to leave Midgar towards the end of the first disc, I believe. I can't quite remember. It's been a while since I played it. And then you're thrust out into the open world, and you basically go from place to place encountering all these crazy adventures and stories while Sephiroth has been introduced, and you eventually come back to Midgar at some point and then go off again. But Midgar does not take up a huge portion of the game. It's just a really strong introduction. It's not like the whole thing is a tutorial or anything like that, but it's a really strong narrative introduction to the game the entire time you're there. And when you leave, it's like, oh my God, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Now I'm out in the open world. What on earth do I do? Where do we go? You go to a chocobo farm, of course, because that's nice.
Yeah.
And if you don't get on the chocobo, you get eaten by a giant snake. So make sure you get on the chocobo.
Chocolate bow.
But they have said, and it was quite clear from the demo that they showed, that Midgar is massively extended now. And they're adding in new dialogue, which I think logically for such an old game, if you're remaking it from the ground up, this was never going to be an identical conversion, because it just wouldn't make any sense to have photorealistic characters stand perfectly still with no facial expressions and maybe say one line while gesturing like this. It doesn't make sense.
No.
They were always going to have to take creative license to update this and modernize it. But some people are feeling a little bit funny about the fact that they're going to spend so much longer in Midgar with new areas and new content and all kinds of stuff like that.
I don't know why people feel this way. Like, well, I guess I do. There's an argument for, I want this to be it's kind of true to the original, but just look better.
Mm-hmm.
But really, what you're doing is you're turning your nose up at just extra content.
The original is always going to exist. That's my argument with this. No matter how crap this may or may not be, and I really want it to be good, there will always be the original. There will always be the re-release on modern consoles that you can play with trophies and achievements and whatever else. So, yeah.
Calm down. Yeah, but
it'll be all right.
I mean, Resi 2 is a good example in the question. Mm-hmm. You know, that had a lot of extra dialogue in it. That had some mixing up of the areas and
enemy placement and item placement were
changed
up.
Yeah, all kinds of things were different. And I think it works well. I think it actually works very well in a horror game because you don't know when the jump scares are going to happen. I thought that was a really good move to like move the liquor and stuff like that. But that aside, you know, in any genre, I think with a remake, all you're doing is getting extra content. You know, they're not... Well, I guess what they might do in Final Fantasy VII is take out certain things that are perhaps not really appropriate anymore for a modern audience.
News just in yesterday. The Honeybee Inn is in.
Oh.
It's confirmed to be in.
Honeybee is in.
The Honeybee Inn where Cloud cross-dresses to get into the... Basically to get the don of the local crime boss... The local crime boss to hit on him so he can sort of get into the building and then rescue... Aerith. Tifa. Rescue Tifa, who's there. And also the sauna bit.
Is the sauna bit in?
Apparently that's all going to be in, but updated and modernized for... Oh my God, you should have seen the comments section of these furious anime nerds. They were like, God, why are just snowflakes ruining the bit where they just like... basically laugh at people who cross-dress and stuff.
Yeah.
And laugh at like being gay and stuff. And it's like, because the world isn't that anymore and it never really was and it shouldn't have been. And if you get so bloody protective, play the original. Yeah. I don't understand why people would have an issue with modernizing something that was controversial even then.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I don't understand why that, but it's in. They could have cut it, but they're keeping it and they're changing it slightly. People are getting upset because Tifa's bust size has been made more realistic.
What?
And brought down a little. It's just madness. What is wrong with these angry, weird nerds?
But in the original, they were all made of triangle.
Yeah, I know.
Their hands were plates.
Yes.
So, what? So she's arguably... Not that bust size should make any difference.
No.
Not that you should have to be attracted to a character.
And some people have big busts and they cannot lie. And and that's fine.
But even if you want to go by conventional beauty standards and you think that big bust equals more attractive, which it doesn't always, then arguably she's more attractive because she doesn't have plates for hands and eyes that take up her entire head.
She's actually like a real looking person.
She's a real person now.
It's realistic to her fighting style as well because she does lots of punches and kicks. Mm-hmm. And the description in the article that I read, because I was like, oh my God, this is going to be a dumpster fire. I've got to see what's going on in this article. The director, I think, of the game was saying her body type is now slimmer. The bust size is smaller. She has like visible abs.
Right.
You can see, and it's like, yeah, I suppose that makes sense. She's more athletic now because that's her fighting style rather than just being just this polygonal mess of plate hands and giant triangle boobs, and people are still mad about that.
Be grateful if you're the kind of person who likes to sephir off over over video game characters.
Maybe there's going to be a special exclusive DLC where you can just put the block characters back in and then just have at it. Go crazy.
Go nuts.
I don't understand. But yes, sorry, to go back to what you were
question.
Saying. The Honeybee Inn is in. They are including that. I'm fascinated to see how that is
Me
updated,
too.
But we'll see.
But yeah, my point is that, like, if they're not taking out sort of large sections of the original, I don't see any real downside to having extra content pumped into a game. Crash Team Racing as well is another good example. This has got all sorts of stuff being thrown in there. None of it is going to ruin the game. If you don't want to play as the weird land shark, then don't play as the weird land shark.
Just reserve all your missiles for him.
Yeah.
Or her.
Or her. It. Do sharks have... Yeah, they have genders.
Yeah, they're not... They don't
not just... some sort
they
of alien species.
Mitosis until another one appears.
No. Don't know why I even asked that question. Of course they do. What a weird thing to ask. Do sharks... No. But that's my stance. I don't see why anyone would complain with just extra stuff being thrown in.
I totally agree. One example I would cite is Persona 4 Golden, which is one of my favorite ever games. Persona 4 released in 2008 on the PS2. Persona 4 Golden, 2014, maybe, citation needed. Maybe 2012, actually. I'm not sure. Right. On the Vita, anyway. Around that time, and they added in extra events, they added in a whole extra character, and I know it wasn't a ground-up remake, it was pretty much a port, but they added so much extra stuff in it that was the first time I played that through, but people who'd played through the original, this must have been just such a breath of fresh air. It was all updated and given like a spring clean, all the UI, the menus, you'd think, oh, okay, right, the game should be wrapping up soon. Oh, no, wait, hang on, there's an entire extra season added with events and stuff with your friends and things that you never saw before. I, on the one hand, understand why people are resistant to change here, but on the other hand, I'm more in camp Peter Austin on this one, in that you'll be playing through a game that you love, and then something new will happen that you've never seen before.
Exactly.
And then it will just go back to... what you know and love,
and like
something
say,
familiar.
If you're that much of a purist where you're like, but I don't want the new thing to happen, I just want to play the original game, then just play the original game. Oh, but I want to play the original game, but with updated graphics. Well, you can't have your cake and eat it.
Oh, God, sorry, that's Tifa calling me.
Oh, hello?
She's just saying, I'm happy now.
My back hurts.
My back doesn't hurt anymore.
Not anymore. It's the old Tifa calling from the past.
Block Tifa.
Yeah.
So I would say, Peter, that this is a good thing. They were always going to be, as we said, there was no way they were going to be able to faithfully recreate this game from the ground up. It just isn't possible. There's stuff in that game that only exists. And we talked about it on the podcast before. There's stuff in that game that literally only exists because of the limitations of the time. Like things that are funny because they're intentionally playing up what they had available at the time.
Yeah.
Like the bit in the Golden Saucer when you take part in that play and they start sort of pirouetting off stage and it looks ridiculous. And that's the whole point, because it's meant to look ridiculous because the graphics are rubbish.
Yeah.
That just wouldn't work now.
No.
That probably just wouldn't make any sense.
You can't have them just standing awkwardly on stage delivering a strange play and pirouetting around. Yeah.
Yeah. So there was a lot that game managed to pull off with no mouths and just eyes and basic body language, because your brain had to fill in the gaps. There was no voice acting, so your brain had to fill in the gaps. And that was really powerful. They can't do that now. So they have to fill in the gaps for us, and sometimes that means either cutting stuff or adding stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's shaping up very nicely, but as a huge fan and of Final Fantasy VII, and as it was one of my formative games, I am really looking forward to this, because I think it's only going to be a good thing to play through something that you love that's got extra stuff in that will take you by surprise.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be nice. It'll supplement... the original game, which will still exist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's all there is to say, I think.
There we go.
I don't disagree in any way.
But let us know in the comments below what you think of remakes in general and anything else that we spoke about this week on the podcast. Maybe you do like the big triangle boobs. I don't know. They sound uncomfortable to me. But whatever floats your boat. Or, as is said by one of the characters in the new Borderlands DLC, which I thought was a great phrase that I've never heard before, I don't want to yuck anyone's yum.
Right.
That's a fun one, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't want to yuck anyone's yum. Peter.
Yes.
If people want to find us elsewhere, how can they do that?
We're almost everywhere on the internet at Team Triple Jump. That's our YouTube channel and our Twitch channel, /Team Triple Jump. On social media, Twitter and Facebook, we're Team Triple Jump. We have a Patreon where you can support us financially. That's patreon.com/Team Triple Jump. You can get that shirt. You can go on our Discord, which is bit.ly/teamtriplejump. And in the Discord, we've got a special room for patrons. You can do worst games ever 2 days early.
Yeah.
All kinds of special rewards.
Loads of amazing things.
The podcast that you're listening to right now, if you're watching on YouTube, you can get the audio version at play.acast.com/s/triplejump.
Or click one of the links in the description. They're all the way at the bottom, but there's all of our podcast links down there.
And most of these links as well that I'm reading right now. And last but not least, the website is tripleju.mp. That's triplej.mp. If you put /shop on the end, you can get this shirt that I'm wearing.
Yeah.
So, Patreon, website shop.
Patreon, website shop.
Also, website shop, this mooj that I'm drinking out of. Right?
Delicious mooj. Mm. Additionally, if you would like to follow us on Twitter, you can do at @ThatPeterAustin and @Confused_Dude. And on Instagram, at @ThatPeterAustin, at @BenPotter20. We do lists every Tuesday and Thursday. Streams every Monday, Tuesday and Thursday. Thursday being on YouTube. Mm. Monday and Tuesday being on Twitch. Worst games ever is fortnightly. That's Friday for patrons, Sunday for everybody else.
Tomorrow.
No. Next week.
Because I'm editing it this week, which I don't normally do.
No, because
you're
going away.
I'm ahead of schedule.
You're going away.
It's going out this week.
It's thrown you off. Podcast is every Saturday. Please leave an iTunes review or a review on your platform of choice. Something about Al Gore.
Something about Al Gore.
Al Gore's rhythms. There was something else I was going to say, but I can't remember what it is. Oh, yes. New shows. Mm-hmm. Assets are being made for them right now.
Yes.
So in the next month, please look forward to those. They are coming.
Yeah.
Hello?
They're on their way. Which just leaves enough time for us to thank today's sponsor. Oh, you're bored? Is your PlayStation not working?
Yeah.
Why not cut the little square out of the back of a catalogue, mm-hmm. send it off to Firefly Ink Company Inc. And they'll send you back in the post a grow your own cordyceps sachet.
Oh.
Mmm.
Delicious.
Delicious. Don't smell it.
Don't touch it.
Don't do anything with it.
Don't look at it. Call help for someone.
Definitely. If you buy this, please also call for help. Mm-hmm. But we recommend you buy it because they're our sponsor.
You should buy it.
And we support any company who will give us money.
Any company.
We don't care what you believe in. We don't care what your methodologies are. We support you.
Blindly.
If you give us money. Mm-hmm. Cordyceps. Ending the world for you and me.
Cord now.
Cord, that's it.
Cool. Thank you very much, everybody, for watching / listening. We'll be back next week. Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.